This is a really special day in the life of Discovery Church to hear Ralph's profession of faith, to have him baptized in this horse trough that we have ready for him.
Baptismal, yes.
But I just wanted to say a special welcome to relatives, friends of Ralph who are here wanting to visit this special day in his life and his walk with the Lord. We've been making a real effort to make sure the water is comfortably warm, even a bit hot. But water cools down, so I can imagine that you're hoping I have a brief message. That brings up a little humor for those guests. I like to share a bit of that. For a lot of years in a church I served, I led a small group Bible study group. We had 7, 8 in the group. We called it a care circle. And one summer, a teacher in our group headed out west to explore the beauty, the natural wonders. And while she was out there at some probably bookstore, she bought beautiful bookmarks for each member in our group, and all of them featured some natural wonder out there. So Diane gave my wife, Ruth, one that was advice from a river, and one bit of advice on this wonderful bookmark was, go with the flow. And then Diane gave me a bookmark that said, advice from a mountain. And it included reach new heights, be uplifting, knowing the challenges in the life of the church, rise above it all. And here was the final bit of the bookmark advice, get to the point. And I'm sure that she gave that to me on purpose. So Ralph, I'll try to get to the point this morning. But as we're in God's presence, it's always a privilege to hear God's word opened, proclaimed. I hope you're just ready to hear God's truths to you. This morning I'm starting a pretty extensive series called Encounters with Jesus. And it strikes me we can know a lot of truths, we can know doctrines, and that's super important. But ultimately, the Christian life is about encountering Jesus, knowing Jesus. So this is the first. We're going to look at a whole series of people in John's gospel who encountered Jesus. And we're going to see how he interacted with them, how he treated them, what he taught them, on some occasions how he healed them. A whole range of people, important people, common ordinary people. We're going to see Jesus in all this range of interaction and get to know him, I trust, much better. So today it's an encounter that Nathanael has, and I'm going to read from John 1, beginning with verse 43, and then to the end of the chapter. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible and want to follow along, I'm just going to work my way through this passage. We've got him right back where Bruce is. So if you'd like one, raise your hand and Bruce will equip you with a Bible. So let's listen. John 1:43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Nathanael was a fairly typical Israelite. He was from the Galilee district, which, if you know a little bit of a Holy Land geography, it's west of the Sea of Galilee. From John 21, so later in this account, we know that his hometown was Cana in fertile, pleasant hill country. Cana lies about 10 miles north of Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. And so it was at a wedding in Cana where Jesus turned water into wine. And that's coming up in John's gospel. Nathanael was spiritually alert. He had studied the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the writings of Moses and the prophets about a promised Messiah. Nathanael was also good friends with Philip, who was also a God-fearing man. Philip hailed from Bethsaida, which is a kind of a shoreline village at the top of the Sea of Galilee. He hailed from Bethsaida, and interestingly, that's also the hometown of the fishermen, Peter and Andrew. In fact, Philip and Peter and Andrew, when John the Baptist was making a big splash in the area, they all traveled to the River Jordan to hear John the Baptist. And when Philip returned, Nathanael would have been very curious about this popular figure. What was John like? What did they hear from this rough-hewn prophet? But it turns out that the big news wasn't about him at all. It was about someone else. Another man there with commanding authority said to Philip, "Follow me." And now Philip claims, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." What is Nathanael's response? Well, to this dramatic claim, he is dubious. He knows Nazareth, not far from where he grew up. He knows that it's a small, insignificant place, maybe like Comstock Park. I hope nobody here is from Comstock Park. And Nathanael's first reaction is extremely skeptical. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Well, talk about a dash of cold water on Philip's excitement about finding the Messiah. You can imagine that Philip might have been put off by Nathanael's skepticism. He might have said, "Okay, forget it then. I'm just telling you what I saw in the man." But instead, Philip is unfazed. He doesn't argue. He simply says, "Come and see." So Philip invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus. In composing their gospel accounts, the gospel writers invite readers to come and see Jesus. Still today, the role of every preacher is to help people come and see Jesus. Really, the heart of evangelism is encouraging others to come and see Jesus. You know, the universal church, certainly our church, has always sought to teach and stand on sound biblical doctrine. And that's super important. The early church councils, they spent months composing the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. The Reformation expended tremendous energy seeking to restore the doctrine of salvation by God's grace, not works. But it's one thing to know doctrine. It's another thing to know a person. It's one thing to come and study the catechism. It's another thing to come and see Jesus. It's one thing to have a biblical worldview. It's another thing to come and hold the Lord's hand. What believers and skeptics alike need, first of all, is to come and see Jesus. Now, verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." And Nathanael, as he approaches, apparently overhears what Jesus says, and he's taken aback. He has never met Jesus, but it seems that Jesus already knows him. And in amazement, he asks Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus replied, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And instantly, Nathanael's skepticism evaporates. On the spot, he makes a profession, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So what cut through his skepticism? What persuaded Nathanael so quickly, so decisively, that Jesus was the Messiah? After all, Jesus didn't perform a miracle in front of him. He didn't heal Nathanael. He didn't offer any profound teaching that cut to his heart. It was that Jesus saw Nathanael. "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip even called you." And do you catch the twist? Nathanael came to see Jesus, but he finds out that Jesus has already seen him. And get this, Jesus doesn't just see Nathanael as another face in the crowd to be quickly forgotten. Jesus noticed Nathanael. He took note of him under the fig tree. Nathanael was on his radar. In recent years, it's been quite a few years now, Ruth and I, while we're traveling, have enjoyed audiobooks of a series called The Number One Ladies Detective Agency. A few have been made into films. Anybody read them? I'm seeing a few nods. Yeah. And the detective of the Number One Ladies Detective Agency is Ma Ramotswe. And she doesn't really deal with, like, murders or anything earth-shattering. Rather, she tends to solve more ordinary problems. And in one case, Ma Ramotswe meets a young woman who's just arrived in the capital city. And she's alone. She's fleeing a bad relationship. She's virtually penniless, and she desperately needs a job. And sensing Ma Ramotswe's kindness, she sort of opens up. She starts unburdening herself of all her troubles, all her problems. She begins to cry, and then Ma Ramotswe kindly says to her, "I see you, Ma. I see you." And in African culture, "I see you" means much more than like a greeting. It says, "I notice you. I care about you. I value you as a fellow sister, a fellow human being. You matter to me." And you know, for someone in distress who just feels insignificant and overlooked in this big capital city, that can be so powerful. Friends, in Jesus, we have a God who sees us and notices us. Being unnoticed, again, it's a big deal. It reminds me of an eye-catching TV commercial from a few years back. It starts with a high school, kind of a skinny high school football runner, and he tries to hurdle a tackler, like you sometimes see a few times in the NFL, and the tackler ends up clipping his feet as he's trying to hurdle, and sends him into this 360-degree somersault, but somehow, amazingly, he lands right on his feet, and he keeps going for a big gain. And the crowd is going, hello, and this play is caught on a cell phone camera. And then the play then is quickly sent out to family members and friends, and you know they're checking what's coming up, and they see this amazing play, hello. And it's just neat for this kid to be noticed. And then the commercial ends. This guy, this player, is walking off the field later in the season, right after a game, and up comes a big-time SEC coach who wants to meet him and says, hello. How cool for that kid to be noticed. None of us wants to go through life unnoticed, right? Looked past, ignored, deemed unimportant. I mean, if you really like a guy in your class, you want him to notice you. If you're trying out for the football team or the basketball team, you're giving it your best effort, you want the coaches to notice your effort and notice your skills. If you're applying for a job at a hospital, you hope the HR person will notice in their big stack of applications, will notice your resume. And usually the more important the person, the harder it is to be noticed. They've got all kinds of things going on in their life. So imagine how impressed Nathaniel must have been. He comes to see this important rabbi, and he finds this teacher has already seen him. More, Jesus noticed him. The population of the world, I'm told, has now surpassed 8 billion people. That's a number that's a little hard for me to get my head around. The population of the United States is about 335 million people. The population of Michigan is about 10 million people. The population of the greater Grand Rapids area is well over 1 million people. And it would be easy for us to feel insignificant, just another face in the crowd. But friends, we have a God who sees you and me, who notices you and me. Think about that. Suppose you're a high school student doing your high school thing. Maybe you're a parent busy with raising kids. Maybe you're an ordinary person working an ordinary job. Maybe you're retired now. No matter who you are, Jesus notices you, just like he did Nathaniel. He notices if you're happy or sad. He notices if you're content or uptight. He notices if you're tired or restless. Jesus notices you. You are on his radar. You matter to him. And what a difference that makes when we come to him in prayer. You know, we don't have to try to explain, put into words everything we're experiencing or feeling. Jesus knows. He already knows about our needs. And here's something more, another layer. Jesus doesn't just notice Nathaniel's face, that he's sitting under this fig tree. He knew his heart. He says, here is a true Israelite in whom is nothing false. So in this encounter with Jesus, Nathanael finds that Jesus sees him and notices him and knows him through and through. And right here, we get a glimpse of the sovereignty of God. As David wrote in Psalm 139, "Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." That could have been written about Nathanael centuries later. The sovereign knowledge of God. And that's why this encounter was a game changer. In a turn, we get a little glimpse here of Jesus' teaching in John 10. "I am the good shepherd." Jesus is the shepherd who knows his sheep. In fact, knows them so well, he calls them by name. Jesus is the good shepherd who sees us and knows us and cares for us. You know, one of the great challenges of our generation is effectively sharing the gospel with Muslims. And let's be honest, rampant sexual immorality in so-called Christian nations has been a turnoff for them. Military incursions into their holy lands and the destruction in Gaza has been a turnoff for them. So Muslims are on their guard against Christians and the gospel. But if only Muslims would come and see Jesus. You know, often they see Allah, their concept of God, as stern and far removed. If they would only realize that in Jesus, there is a God who sees them, notices them, cares for them, and loves them individually. If people would only come and see Jesus, it might cut through their skepticism, just like Nathanael. One more key point from our text: Jesus sees Nathanael, but seeing goes both ways. Jesus also wants us to see him, and in seeing Jesus, we see God himself. And Jesus says, "You shall see greater things than that," this display of his sovereign knowledge about Nathanael. "You shall see greater things." Jesus would turn water into wine. He'd heal the sick. He'd give sight to the blind. He'd raise the dead. He'd cast out evil spirits. It's as if he's saying, "Nathanael, you're impressed by this. You ain't seen nothing yet." And then he goes on, "You shall see," and here's just one more on top of everything else, "you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And here, of course, he's hearkening back to Genesis 28. There, Jacob has this dream of a stairway to heaven. So now Jesus claims to be the fulfillment of that ladder for Nathanael and all of us. Jesus claims to be the stairway to heaven, who reveals God in all of his glory and grace. Jesus is the stairway. A closing word of application. It strikes me that unlike Nathanael, we cannot come and see Jesus today in the flesh. But by God's word and spirit, you and I can still encounter Jesus. So friends, come. Come and see Jesus by carefully studying the gospel accounts about him. And we're going to do that from John's gospel in the weeks ahead. Come and see Jesus by being active in the church, coming faithfully for worship and hearing preaching about him. Come and see Jesus by really participating in the life of the church, because it is the body of Christ today where we experience him. Come and see Jesus by serving the least and the lowliest, and thereby serving Jesus himself. Philip said, "Come and see Jesus." It was the best invitation that Nathanael ever received. And when you come to Jesus, you'll find the same. So, brothers and sisters, will you come? Let's pray a moment together. God, thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you for the gospel account of the Apostle John. And thank you for this particular scene where Nathanael encounters Jesus. No miracle, no profound teaching, no healing, but this supernatural knowledge of Nathanael, where he glimpsed Jesus, your sovereignty, and that you were the Son of God. And just as Nathanael came to have that realization, that faith, we pray that, Holy Spirit, we would too, that we would come and see Jesus, and not just a one-time thing, that we would develop habits, practices, where we come and see you, Jesus, in our study of Scripture, study of the gospel accounts, in our coming together in worship and hearing preaching that lifts up Jesus and who he was, in our participation of the life of the church, which is the very body of Christ. So, Lord, thank you that by your word and spirit, you're still wonderfully working. Lord, if there's anyone here who knows about you, who knows about the Bible, who knows plenty of doctrine, but has never personally come and encountered you, I pray that this morning would be part of that, that you would draw them to you, Jesus, and that in meeting you, like Nathanael, we'd all come to a deeper appreciation and admiration of who you are. So, Jesus, be worshiped and glorified in this moment. And we pray all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.